Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I have a great show. Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules is on the show today. And I love Tom, you guys. I do. Out loud and proud, I love Tom. I think he's funny and ridiculous and handsome in the best way. And I cannot wait to chat with him. I love him and Ariana. And he's on the show. And we're going to chat about it all. All of it. Also, by the way, like, every time he's in a fucking costume on that show, I lose it. Like, this week when he had the winter party and he was wearing, like, that silver hair and the colored contacts and then the fur. I mean, I think he even said in the episode, like, when I found the fur, my whole outfit came together. And I was just like, I love that. Do you remember when he was in drag, too, fighting? And he said Tom Schwartz was, like, a battered wife. I mean, come on. Like, we don't deserve that show. We just frankly don't. We do not deserve it. And so I'm excited to chat with him. Before I chat with Tom, I do have some good news and I have some bad news. So the good news is that I will be covering, maybe this is good news. This is good news maybe for some of you. Maybe some of you are like rolling your eyes and like, oh, fuck you, Danny. But I will be covering Lindsay Lohan's new Beach Club show on Everything Iconic.
Shut up. I didn't say anything.
So I'm very excited to start recapping that. The first episode premiered this week. So the premiere episode was on MTV and I went in with really low expectations and I came out of it like loving it. I loved it. I thought it was so messy. It was like an MTV version of a Bravo show. Cause I feel like Bravo, like the Housewives and Vanderpump, like they have a very specific tone and everything. So I felt like Lindsay Lohan's MTV show was definitely like an MTV show. It was a different kind of tone than what I'm used to on Bravo, but I still loved it. I thought it was, again, messy. I was on the edge of my seat trying to figure out what accent Lohan was going to be using. I say it was like Gerard Butler. Like when you watch him in a rom-com, his accent is coming in and out. Like you don't know what accent he's doing. And that's how I feel like we're getting with Lindsay Lohan these days. I don't know what cadence is coming out of that mouth, but I'm excited to find out. And it keeps me on my toes because then every word, I'm like literally hanging on every single word Lohan says, trying to figure out like what dialect is that? Where is she? Does she have peanut butter in her mouth? Like, what's happening? And so I love the premiere. I'm very excited about it. So the first episode premiered this week. If you haven't watched it, try to watch it over the weekend. And then on Monday's Everything Iconic, I'll be recapping Lohan Beach Club episode one. And then hopefully I'm going to try to do all of them throughout the season. So I think there's 12 episodes this season. I will try my best to recap all of them. But the first one will be Monday, so try to watch that episode. Now, here's the bad news. Bum, bum, bum. And maybe this isn't bad news for any of you. Maybe you're like going to scream and shout of joy. Anyway, I will not be getting to Real Housewives of Atlanta or New Jersey this week. I know normally on Thursdays we do Housewives recaps. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to do that because we have Tom here today. However, I'm going to try to get a New Jersey and a little mini New Jersey and Atlanta recap over on Patreon. So if you're a member of the Everything Iconic Patreon, look for it there. And if you're not a member of the Patreon and you want to join the Patreon, just go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. And if you donate $4 or more per month, you get access to all of the bonus episodes. And more importantly, you just help support this podcast. So a thank you. Oh, and there's also a full Kelly Clarkson episode over there with Logan Cochran. I mentioned this on the show earlier this week, but it's fantastic. It's like a full Kelly Clarkson pop dive. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to air it on the main show because it's like loaded with music, but I encourage everyone to listen to it because I think it's great. Now, where were we? Oh, I do have one more bit of good news. A lot of you have been asking about the West Elm headboard that I ordered back in May of 2018. You guys, I got it. I finally got it. I feel like Valerie Cherish. Well, I got it. Finally got it. And it only took, what, like 8 months to arrive. I ordered it again May of 2018. It arrived January 2019. After I had to post on social media, I had to talk about it on my show. Finally, I got it. and didn't even remember what it looked like when it came. The delivery guys, like, I had told them, I was like, yeah, I ordered this back in May. They were like, what the fuck? And I was like, I know. And they're like, did you call on it? That was always so frustrating when I would tell people about this headboard. People would be like, well, did you call? And it's like, of course I called. Like, I was on the phone for hours with West Elm. And I did try to cancel it. And they wouldn't let, like, there was no solution I could get from it. At one point, I canceled it. They said they were sending me a gift card. The gift card came, and then they voided the gift card. So it was a nightmare all around, but I finally got it. And so, you know, just take a moment to pop the champagne on my behalf. It came. Do I love the way it looks? Not really, but it came. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Now, I want to get to Tom. Before I do, I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. There's an Everything Iconic Facebook group, which, by the way, has been making my week, because on the Everything Iconic Facebook group, I asked people to post a picture of their dog. Like, there's a thread with everyone's dogs. And so everyone's just posting pictures of their dogs. And you guys, whenever I need a pick-me-up, I just head on over to that thread. I feel instantly better because everyone's just posting pictures of dogs. And I realized that sometimes self-care is just looking at pictures of dogs. If you're suffering from anxiety, depression, or just simple daily stress, go Google image search some pictures of some dogs, and it'll boost your serotonin levels instantly. Like, I've been in such a good mood, and then I realize it's because, like, I keep going back and checking that dog thread. And then, you know, my endorphins flow. So, I don't know, join the group over there. What else? Let's get to Tom. So, you guys, I chatted with Tom earlier, and again, I love Tom, and we were just going to chat for a little bit, and then we ended up talking for a long time, over an hour, and I found him so interesting. We were talking about, like, his modeling days, and he told some stories about modeling for Abercrombie that I found shocking and very compelling, and so I hope you'll listen to the end, because there's some good stuff. And then we also talked about Vanderpump, and of course I had to ask him about that comment he made a couple weeks ago, where he said he's been in the service industry for 25 years, so we confronted that head on. And again, he was just so sweet, and he was so kind to entertain all my questions. So I hope you'll enjoy this interview with Tom Sandoval.
What are you mad about?
I'm sick and tired of him getting belittled and told what he needs to do all the time. Leave him the alone. He's a battered wife.
All right, guys, I'm here with Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules. Tom, how are you doing?
Great. What's up, Danny?
I'm so excited you're here. Now, this is a little impromptu interview, and I'm loving the season so far. But real quick, a couple weeks ago, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but you mentioned that you were in the service industry for 25 years?
25 years, yeah.
Okay, so we need you to explain yourself.
Okay. I think I did my math a little slightly wrong, but but basically, I started when I went to Catholic school through, like, first through fifth, and then I switched over to public school for sixth grade. And at my Catholic school, St. Ferdinand, we had a fish fry every Friday. It would be like fish, fries, they did, like,
right,
pastas, whatever. Yeah. Right. In our gym. And I would help out and do that on, like, Fridays or whatever, made a little cash. My aunt helped kind of run it. So it was like a thing where I could, like, make like 10, 15 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever. And that was, like, I think it was like fourth grade.
I'm getting flashbacks because I went to Catholic grade school too. And I don't eat seafood. And I used to hate Fridays, like fish Fridays. Like, I hate during Lent. They would always do the fish fries. And it was like the worst day. I hated it.
I never really liked fish growing up either. Like,
and during Lent, you're not supposed to eat meat in the Catholic religion.
Yeah, and two, you went to Catholic school?
I did, yeah, yeah.
Where?
St. Rita's in
St.
Ohio.
St. Rita's? Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know about you, but they would do, like, we would do mass twice a week, and then we would end up going again on Sunday with the fam.
The worst.
So, it was like church 3 days a week.
Right, it's too fucking much.
It was way too much.
But, yeah, it was a lot.
Like, oh, please, what was it? What, like, when you're kneeling and they do the, I would always be like, oh, please do the short one, the short, whatever.
The short prayer.
Yeah. Between, like, the first time you kneel and, like, communion.
Right. Right. Oh, I'm having so many flashbacks. And I hated the uniforms, too. I want to ask you, now, we saw this week on the show, Jax and Brittany, they were talking a little bit about you and Ariana.
Yes.
What was your reaction to that?
I thought it was kind of funny. So, wait, what did Jax... I did just watch the episode, but I was cleaning as I was watching it.
Right. So, Lala had told Brittany that you and Ariana had... said that maybe they shouldn't get married because, you know, he's dealing with the grief of his father.
Yes. I think, listen, I guess maybe it was miscommunicated, but it's not that I like maybe had an issue or I was questioning their relationship or whatever. But like, you have to understand something. I mean, you don't have to understand, but I mean, I'm sure you can understand. Like, I've been friends with Jax for so long, longer than anybody else.
Right.
And I've dealt with his, like, I've just heard the, like, you know, oh, I'm moving back to Florida. I'm going to be, you know, I'm moving to Michigan. I'm going to become a firefighter. I think I'm going to get into, you know, go back to Florida and just, like, you know, get a job here. I'm going to, you know, I'm quit drinking. I'm never doing this again. I'm like, you know, I'm done with this. I'm like, I'm going to get up early. I'm doing 2 days. Like, all, like, you hear it all the time. And then it's like, that never comes. It was like his job. Like, he, you know.
The hockey job.
It was like,
what was going on with that? Like,
I never
that a
saw
job?
Any details. I mean, Jax jumps the gun all the time. Like, you know, so it's hard to know. Like, you know, even with like modeling, it's just like he would be like, oh yeah, booking this job. Like, I'm doing this campaign. It's gonna be out. Blah blah blah. And then like, it would never happen. It was BS.
Right.
Or maybe like he went to the audition. You know, it'd be like. It would be like, you know, Jax checking in. I remember like Facebook check-in. He would check in at the Levi's party, but he was like bartending it. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess just with, you know, obviously, you know, I mean, I can only imagine dealing with the loss of a parent.
Sure.
You know, the emotional thing that you go through. You know, obviously, Brittany was going to be there for him, you know, during that. I mean, and she was, you know, which is great. But I just, you know, because he was so currently affected by that, and because it's so recent, I was just worried. And I even said that in the episode. I was like, you know, I don't want this to just be like a phase to where, like, you're, because Brittany was there during the funeral and whatnot, that, like, after that wears off, you know, are you still going to want to be with her day to day, day? And one of the reasons for that, even though that's his business with the relationship, but it's like, you know, coming up, it's like we're going to be dealing with a lot of like wedding stuff. Like, if I'm in his wedding, like, I'm going to have a lot of responsibility, and I know he's going to expect a lot out of us. And it's like, dude, if this is just one of your like things, which I don't think it is, but I like have to like,
but you have to preface, you have to acknowledge it.
I have to acknowledge it. And I have to say, like, look, this shit better be for real, because I'm not going to go all out on a bachelor party and like do this and help out.
You're going to back out.
If you're going to like, you know, be filing for divorce in a year or like, you know, because I mean, obviously the year prior,
it felt like genuine concern to me. I thought like you voiced genuine concern. It didn't seem like you were doing it to like kind of stab him in the back or anything.
No, I wasn't talking shit about the relationship, which is kind of the way he sort of took it. You know, it was a general concern for his well-being and really mainly like Brittany's. Like,
because
also, you know, another thing I experienced with Jax is him like, you know, when he meets a girl or whatever, like, he used to just say all these things, like, I want to have your kids, and, like, I want to blah, blah, blah. And then literally, like, you know, like, especially, like, the sheet girls. Like, dude, the stuff I would hear whispered behind that fucking sheet, man.
Wait, the sheet, you mean living with...
When he was living with me, like, oh, like, he had this whole spiel. He was like, oh, like, you're the kind of girl I could, like... You know, LA girls are just so like, oh, they're like so two-faced, like, and fake. Like, but you're like a real girl. Like, I could, you're like the type of girl that I would like settle down with or whatever. And then it's like a week later, you know, that girl is, you know, like texting me because like Jax like hasn't returned her phone calls in like 2 days or texts, and like he just defriended her on Facebook.
That's so funny. That's like such an LA guy, a straight guy thing to do, to like have like their set spiel for a girl.
Dude, yeah. I'm like, So, and obviously, you know, obviously Britney is beyond that.
Sure.
On a, but, you know, I didn't want
to. Because you've been conditioned to it.
We call it the 30-day rule where that rug would get yanked out from underneath, like, whatever girl he was dating. Like, whether it was Carmen or whoever, it's like, you know, you're going to law school. You got things going. Like, I'm not going to be around for that. Like,
yeah.
And so, and also, I will say, this is a concern that, like, you know, not just me, not just Ariana, not just, but like a lot, like everybody we kind of knew sort of had this concern.
So somebody had to say it.
Basically, yeah. Yes. And that's the one thing that I do run into with this in general with this show is that I feel like a lot of people agree with me that are my fellow friends and castmates, but like I end up being the mouthpiece.
Sure. Sure. And someone's got to say it.
It's kind of like, I feel like Katie and I are similar in that way. Like, you know, maybe Kristen feels a certain way, maybe Stassi does, but somehow like Katie ends up having to be the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like that happens a lot even with like me, Schwartz, and Jax. We all feel similar about something, but I end up having to be the mouthpiece.
Sure. But I feel like you and Ariana too, you're level headed enough that you're able to say, like, this is what's the situation is.
And I feel like as a friend, it's kind of like my duty to sort of say something. And you know, these are thoughts that I had, you know, leading up to like the proposal that I wanted to talk to Jax about, but he was so busy with, you know, dealing with his dad and all that stuff. And then obviously leading up to filming, like we're all trying to like cram in a trip back home to see our parents. So like, you know, we didn't get a chance to really like have that talk.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, we're meeting, you know, him downtown for like to go to Cal Chan's. And see the ring, and then he's literally proposing the next day, and I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! We didn't get a chance
to have these conversations."
And not to say that it's, you know, I should have anything to do with any kind of decision he makes in his life, but just as a friend, you know, like
how long? Wow, when did you meet Jax? When did you guys know each other?
I met Jax back in like I think it was 2002 in Miami. We were both.
Wait, so didn't Jax live with Channing Tatum? Is this like a made up thing?
Look. I definitely can't confirm that.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if that wasn't exactly true.
Okay.
I mean, maybe I know, look,
maybe they like had like a night where they were crashing on each other's couch.
Here's the thing. When you get with an agency and let's say like it's in New York or it's in Miami or it's wherever in those major cities, maybe even LA also. And let's say you're coming from like Michigan or St. Louis or whatever. They have these model apartments. And what they'll do is the agency will bring you out there and they will put you in these models apartments. And they're like, you know, 2-bedroom, maybe 3. And there's like, you know, 2 or 3 bunk beds in each room. And it's basically a place for like the model to crash if they're only going to be there for a short time, maybe a month, month and a half. Or like,
this sounds like a place I'd want to stay. Like I'm as a gay man, I would love to stay with a bunch of models, male models.
It's a shithole. It's like, you know,
yeah.
The trash can's already filled up before it, like,
just gross. Guys are straight guys are gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. I lived with 5 other straight guys when I lived in Chicago and like the place was disgusting. Like it was the most disgusting place.
My apartment.
And they weren't male models though.
Oh, so, really? Yeah.
They weren't.
Well, even then, like, dude. Trust me, like, you're all broke, you're all just, like, pizza boxes, and, like...
So, unclear about Channing Tatum, we don't know about that.
There could have been a situation...
Did you ever know Channing back in the day?
I used to see him around, like, it's funny, I did Fashionably Loud for MTV the year after he did it, and once I saw Channing Tatum on Fashionably Loud in Miami, I was like, I want to do that shit, and so I did it the following year, it was Missy Elliott, All American Rejects, and 50 Cent. It was the year In the Club came out.
Right.
So
those MTV parties they used to do. Remember like
they
spring,
were massive.
MTV Spring Break
oh,
and
yeah,
everything
it was
like
huge.
That whole thing was just crazy.
I wish they would still do shit like that. For some reason like they've gotten away from TRL, they've gotten away from all the beach house.
They're
like,
coming
the music.
Back though. They're coming back to all of it and I had a meeting with MTV and like they're bringing all that the nostalgia stuff back. So that's why Jersey Shore and it was so successful when they brought Jersey Shore back and stuff. I want to talk about another MTV thing. You were on The Hills. What do you remember from The Hills?
I was very briefly on The Hills.
But you can see you for
okay,
a second.
Okay, so wait, real quick, to say what you're saying about Channing Tatum. I would see him around, But here's the thing. When I would see Channing Tatum around during that time, Channing Tatum was already kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So I don't know if maybe Channing Tatum like crashed on a bed somewhere in New York, because obviously New York rent's expensive. Maybe he crashed in a model apartment. Him and Jax were never like roommates.
Sure.
Like they weren't like.
It wasn't like the fucking Odd Couple.
Exactly. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, when Schwartz and I lived together. Like yeah. It was probably a model apartment thing, if it even was.
Sure.
We don't know. There's always that Jax tax that you got to add on to every story. So, but yeah, so, Channing Tatum had done that. He had just done that commercial. He was blowing up. I think he had done
a Ricky Martin video too back in the day.
He had done Ricky Martin. He had done like Abercrombie. Like yeah. All the male models knew what all the, like the models were doing that were killing it. Like he had done. I know he'd just done Abercrombie. He'd just done that Mountain Dew commercial where he's my Dew, and he goes back with the Firebird and does a flip, grabs it, and drinks. Yeah, dude, that was a huge commercial. Yeah. Like
I remember that. That might have been a Super Bowl commercial, I think.
Yeah.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Yeah. So
So Lauren Conrad.
Oh, okay. So The Hills.
And then I'm going to ask you about Joe Simpson.
Okay.
And I can't wait. I've been dying to ask you about this. I told you.
You know what's funny? To get back to Jax too.
Yeah.
You know, he literally was, he said, well, I will never be the one. And I love how they rewound back where he was literally commenting on our relationship, Ariana and I's, when he was like.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then also.
Because he said some, in this most recent episode, he said some shady things about you and Ariana, which is what I was getting at before. Yeah,
exactly. And the funny thing is, too, is like, you know, here Sheena is like getting engaged to like, to Shay. You know, here Sheena is getting engaged to Shay. And
Jax
literally is like, I got milk that's got longer shelf life than that marriage. Like, he's literally was talking fucking shit. Yeah. So he's really got no
shoe to stand on. No leg to stand on. I'm saying?
He doesn't have a leg to stand on when it comes to that argument. Like, I'm sorry, dude. You comment on everybody's, like, you know, whether it's my music career, whether it's this, that, or the other. Like, I mean, dude, like, he's just really sensitive about that stuff. He freaks out.
It almost did feel like it was just a call and response. Like, he heard something bad about himself, so he just felt like he had to say something bad about you.
Yeah. You know, it's like, dude, no, it's not me talking shit or poking fun or like being jealous, you know, which is another thing he like, I think he tried to like think like, oh, like, it's like, no. It's like general concern, because literally like a year prior, and that was the whole point, a year prior from that moment, I had heard him talking and saying things to Brittany that were so mind-blowingly mean and bad, like telling, like literally having a conversation with Brittany's dad saying like how she's gained weight and how she doesn't have that spark. I mean, I can't think of anything more like insulting to say. And then,
so of course you were concerned when you hear that.
Exactly. Yeah. And then your dad.
And also like, a year prior too, there was that whole Faith situation too.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he breaks up with her. He like has her go through the gauntlet. And
so
then,
that breakup was real.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They went like a month. Like basically Jax left town. Then she left town. And then like they both left town. Like, and then all of a sudden it's like, so here you are. You want to break up. You put Brittany through this, then you kind of like, you know, you put Brittany through this whole cheating scandal. And then on top of it, you're a total like you know, all right, it's been 2 days. Like I said, I'm sorry. Like, let's get over it. Then you're the biggest dick to her you've ever been in your entire life, like in the relationship. You make her go through that. Then you fucking break up with her after she goes through that gauntlet. And the only thing that keeps, and then you like refuse to move out. You say you're going to move next door. So like, you're going to make it, you're like refuse to leave her life, but then you break up with her. And then what changes from that point? His dad passes away. Now, all of a sudden, because she was there during his dad passing away, now he wants to marry her and be with her. And that's the point I was trying to make, is sure. That, listen, and I said it, I was like, if your dad never passed away,
would you
still be proposing to her? And he has even said, he's like, I don't know if I would.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Which he didn't mean he didn't love her. It just meant. Like that pushed him in that direction, right?
Yeah, but it's also like, is this a thank you to her?
Were you pissed at Lala for being the throwing you under the bus with that?
Listen,
or that's sort of part of her job on the show, right?
Exactly.
Because yeah. That's how I took it. I felt like she was moving the storyline forward.
I can't really be mad at her.
Yeah.
I mean, if you say something behind somebody's back, it's gonna come back to them at some point in time, and you're gonna have to deal with it. It's just one of those things. I guess it's like kind of just, it's like, you know what, you're gonna have to say this to that person anyways. So it's like saying it behind their back when it comes to us is just kind of like dipping your toe into the pool before you fully jump in.
Yeah, that's funny. Like, see how other people react to it. Okay, so wait, tell me about Lauren Conrad.
Okay. So,
were you in a scene with her or Whitney?
I believe it was. Well, I actually did sit down and talk to both of them. Here's the funny thing. Okay, first of all, you know, obviously with modeling, you know, whether it's New York, Miami, LA, especially New York and Miami specifically, but even in LA too, you know, I had all these friends that were models and we would all tell each other about like castings. It's a little, and everybody crashes each other's castings. It's harder to do it out here because people are based out of here and there's a place you got to drive and like there's more of a list type thing. But in like New York and Miami, for instance, it's like all these foreign clients come in to pre-shoot all the spring and summer stuff. And then during the winter, so the models fly south for the winter.
Okay.
And then they pre-shoot all the spring break and summer stuff in like Miami. And some out here in California, and then during the summer, everybody goes back up north to New York. So it's like they go
like fucking birds or something.
Exactly, we follow the birds.
Okay,
so that's why they call it season in Miami. And so during season in Miami, all these clients come in, foreign clients, whatever. They just stay in hotels on like you know Ocean Drive or on Collins or whatever, right. And then essentially like they'll have a casting, and because everybody's like in the same like. Four different apartment buildings, you know, everybody ends up finding about these castings and it's like, maybe they only called in 20 people for this casting, but they're all of a sudden, it's just like, there's a fucking mob
Everyone
of models
crashes.
All like in the lobby of a hotel, you know, waiting. And they're like, oh, well, since they're here, they might as well. Anyways, so
another place I have to go to find all these male models. I just want to be around.
Dude, if you want to be around, if you want to be right around a bunch of models, I mean, obviously, you know, the industry has changed. It's different now. There's not quite.
It's like all Instagram now, right?
Yeah, it's all Instagram now. Like, you know, with agencies now that it's like your photos, like your campaigns, your tears that you've done, and then how many followers you have. It's like a thing now that you see, which is different from when I was in it. And so basically my friend Alan, he had this casting for this runway show, and I showed up and they were filming. Like Aldrina was at the front desk. I checked in with her.
Oh my God.
And then we went and sat in this room, and Lauren Conrad and
Whitney Port.
Whitney, yes, were there.
Was Kelly Catron there? Do you know who that is? I like want her to yell at me so bad. She's like always was on the, she would just come in and like yell at someone and it was the best.
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But here's the funny thing. I was a club promoter in New York and in Miami. Miami, I was like,
you've lived so many lives, Tom.
I really have, dude.
From the fish fry to the promoting.
I've had so many like,
you've lived
like stages in my life, sure. I guess. Like, and I'm very grateful, like very grateful to have experienced all these things. And like, you know,
of course,
any one of those, any one of my stages in life, I feel like would have
good enough.
I could have been good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel very grateful.
I mean, if I was on the Hills, I would have been enough for me. Like, I would have been.
Yeah.
So was Lauren or Whitney, were they nice? Let's just.
I didn't. Yeah, they seemed pretty nice. They were nice. I kind of just started talking to them because I was doing the Showtime party. It was like my first.
Like modeling or promoting?
Promoting.
Okay.
I can't remember the club. It's definitely not around anymore. But it was like, no, I was promoting was this event. There was going
to
be.
Did you ever go to Ledoux?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. Okay. That's another episode. We'll Dude. Talk another time.
I used to do all like Ed Hardy, Christian Audigier's runway shows.
Okay,
so
wait.
Let me tell you a funny story about
Ledoux. Okay.
So I remember like this was the craziest thing I found out about Christian Audigier. He's the only time I've ever seen this, but he would, when we would be at Ledoux, he would have all the security hired. Then he would hire paparazzi photographers to be diving over his security, snapping pictures. Just
oh
like
God.
Rapid fire strobing fucking pictures. And then he would hire, you know, he would hire them and then he would hire security to push them away.
Oh my God.
Yes. That's, it's brilliant, yeah, but it's also super fucking
it's
cheesy.
So
and,
crazy.
Yeah. And the reason why I knew this is because I remember I was like at his, we did his runway show. Then like he had like an event. He had a pre-show thing, and then he had a night at Ledoux, and then the very next day we had a fitting for like the runway show, and I'm seeing all the paparazzi photographers or whatever get paid from like pounding him the night before, and then he would have like two security guards like he would put his arm on a security guy, and that like they would run this like almost like a train, like a
they were staging
like
the
a
whole
conga
thing.
Line, and they would go to the bathroom, and they'd be pushing back the paparazzi, who'd be like jumping, Christian, like, and then those guys would get paid the next day at his place.
My biggest regret in life is that I never went to Ledoux. Like, I wanted to just experience all of this. Now that we're talking about Ledoux, though, I have another question. Did you ever date any of like the pre Ariana? Did you ever date like any of these actresses or something, because you were a model and you were at Ledoux, like did you ever just like sleep
I definitely dated a lot of models,
like, anyone good or an actress or anything, anyone I would know, like a Mary-Kate or Ashley or something?
No, nobody really well known or anything like that. My ex-girlfriend I think is with Michael Jackson's old lawyer or doctor.
What?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you ever sleep with any like famous young ladies or gentlemen?
I'm trying to think. What? Not.
I just always imagined that world of like going out at that time in the early aughts. Like it was just wild. From what I've seen, I've of course never went to Ledoux.
I mean, not really. Nobody like no.
No one juicy.
Nobody juicy that I can remember offhand. And the funny thing is like, you know, I wasn't horrible as a club promoter. I wasn't like a total like fuckboy club promoter. I was because
you're a nice guy though. I could tell. Like
thanks,
I know you a little
I
bit.
I was
you're
respectful.
A nice guy.
I wasn't trying to just like mac on every girl I invited because I wanted them to come back and I wouldn't have to deal with like
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
wait, now I know I'm jumping all over the place, but now I'm just thinking like there
too.
Were these rumors that there were rumors that Jax hooked up with Ramona. Do you know, did anyone from Vanderpump Rules hook up with any housewives? Like, do you know, has that ever happened?
I can't confirm nor deny that.
Oh my God. See, I think it happened. I think Jax and Ramona hooked up.
I think it happened too.
Yes. Oh my God. Good. I don't know why I thought of that.
But I mean, you know,
they were
I don't
both
know.
Single at the time, but
yeah.
Oh my God. To be a fly on that wall. I wonder if he told Ramona that same story. Like, you're in a different place than I am.
She's older than. Is she older than him?
I mean, she, yes.
Yeah,
she's
older
like
than
70.
Him.
She's not 70, but she's.
I can't remember.
She's 60.
Okay, yes.
But she's she's like a gorgeous 60. Like
she's
she
a
looks,
young 60.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
So I think, I remember hearing some. I mean,
yeah. No, you don't have to say it.
I
but
don't
you
know.
Could tell me
I
later.
Don't know. I don't know.
Or I feel like weren't there rumors of maybe someone with Brandy Glanville? I don't know.
I don't think the Brandy thing is.
No, but the Ramona's true. I'm saying it's true. Okay. I want to ask you about.
I'm not going to say it's
confirming,
not true.
Yeah, you're not confirming or denying.
It's not my place.
Sure. But I'm believing it to be true. So like I always say on this show, like I'm just believing it to be true.
I don't have any recollection of that, okay, sure. So I don't know.
You guys drink a lot on the show. How could you remember?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
How could you remember
if Jack said that happened or not?
One thing I do need you to remember really quickly is Joe Simpson.
Yes.
So tell me about this
relationship. I didn't finish. So I went.
I know, I'm jumping around a lot. Yeah, but your stories are so interesting.
So I went to this casting, checked in with Audrina, had no idea. I'd never watched The Hills, so I had no idea who Audrina was.
Ceiling eyes. People would call her ceiling eyes.
I found out about that name, that nickname afterwards. But
wait, you know what's so interesting to me? I'm stopping you again. The cast of The Hills was all, I loved that show so much, but the cast is so bland. And you guys are sort of a spiritual successor to The Hills, right?
Yeah.
And it's just so weird to me that there was a time that The Hills was so successful because all of those personalities are very bland. Like yeah. Lauren, Whitney, Audrina, like Heidi was more of a firecracker, but for the most part, it was like these bland girls that we were all watching and obsessed with. But now we see your show and it's like everyone's kind of, you know, Kristen's going around climbing fences with some woman named Hope.
Exactly. I mean, and people are, you know, getting in fights and brawls and oh my gosh, dude, I could tell you.
It's just such a strange comparison.
They have to like, with our show, there's been points in time where they're just literally like, this is so unbelievably outrageous that like we can't show this because it's like we'll get in trouble.
Oh my God.
Yeah. There's been things that have just been like completely sort of because they're just so over the top, ridiculous. But that's maybe another conversation.
Yeah.
But
so you walked in.
It's funny you say that with The Hills too, since we're on the subject. It's like, you know, their arguments would be like, yeah, that was just like not cool that you did that. Like that you, it's, they would be so like, that bland. Was just not cool that you cheated on me. And it's like, well, you know, I just wasn't very happy during that time. And I feel like you were ignoring me. Okay. Well, I guess agree to disagree. Well, whatever. Let's just go grab a drink.
Right.
That was like their arguments. That was her argument.
It was like the biggest deal the one time when Lauren had one tear, like her mascara was running. And like people still use that gif online, but it's just like one mascara tear running. And that was like the most emotion we'd ever seen on that show. It was like everyone is so level.
Yeah.
It's just weird that it was successful. But so they were nice to you on.
Yeah, they were totally cool. And I remember I sat down in the waiting room where like there's all these dudes like, you know, going around, they're like handing them swim trunks to kind of put on. And then you go in and meet, like, I guess, whoever's producing the runway show and like whatnot. And they interview you, which is really weird to me. It was a really weird experience. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Because they're interviewing me for a fucking runway show. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is not an audition or a job interview where I'm going to be in charge. I'm literally walking down the runway. Like, I don't need to speak English. I just need to be able to, like, I look good in the clothes and I walk down the runway.
Why do I need to talk?
Like, normally they have you, they're like, okay, let's have you walk. And they want to look at your walk.
Yeah.
That's it. So it was so
weird. Can you still
do
a walk? Can you still do it?
Yeah. I have numerous walks.
Okay.
And so when I was sitting in the waiting room, I was talking to Lauren and Whitney.
Whitney.
And I was just like, hey, I was like just talking to them. And I was just like, hey, I have this event coming up if you guys want to come by. Like, I just didn't even know. I didn't even see the cameras. There was like, I guess, a microphone on a picture frame in the middle of the, you know, room. I just saw these two girls talking. I was like, hey, I'm doing, you know, as a club promoter, the way I used to do it, I would just meet people at castings. That's why my job was so easy. I would just meet people at castings and I would just be like, very casual. I was just like, hey, I'm doing this event at blah, 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 you know, for Showtime. So-and-so is going to be here. So-and-so. I was like, if you guys want to come, like, you know, obviously it's like free drinks or whatever. And they were just like, they just like stopped and kind of looked at me and smiled. And I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. Anyways. And that it was funny. It was just like this.
They would just do that little like smile, giggle at each other.
Yeah. They kind of looked at each other and like smiled and giggled. And then they're like, and then they called my name to go in. And which was so funny because I felt like all these guys were trying to be so like try hard.
Yeah.
Because they knew about The Hills more and they were like, I was just completely oblivious. And then when I sat, then they filmed me sitting out of all the guys that went in there, they ended up filming me sitting in and doing the interview for the runway show. And I guess the best part is that all these guys had that casting and I fucking crashed that shit.
There you go. End up on the show.
There you go. Also, Sheena Shea was on that show.
Later episodes.
I think somebody else, maybe from Vanderpump Rules or Beverly Hills Housewives, maybe somebody was on Hills too. Also, I'm watching that Marie Kondo show. Do you know who that is? It's on Netflix. It's like this Asian woman that organizes things, and she like kind of giggles at her translator. And now I'm just picturing Lauren and Whitney as Marie Kondo.
I've never seen that.
That's
show.
That's neither here nor there.
It seems about right.
Okay. So I will let you go here, but you have to talk about Joe Simpson first.
Oh yeah, 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 sure.
Because you know I'm obsessed with the whole Simpson family: Tina, Joe, Ashley, Jessica.
I know you are. I
love it.
You know,
you photographed with him in one of the seasons of Vanderpump Rules.
Yes. Yeah. It was like,
that was when you had like the white hair.
Two seasons ago.
And you know, Joe Simpson,
I mean, you know, what's funny. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Can we call him after this is done?
I should shoot him a text.
Yeah. Oh my God, please do. I think I was telling you, like, you need to get him back on Vanderpump Rules. Like, let's just get him on next season or something. Like, call him for a shoot. Like, it was so funny.
He's a great photographer. He does really good studio stuff, which what I love. I would love to actually shoot with him again. I haven't talked to him in a while. I should shoot him a text, but
let's shoot him a text, Tom.
So LA Model set that up, that photo shoot. I didn't know what to expect. You know, like, you don't know if, like, when you show up, like, I had no idea who Joe Simpson was.
How dare you?
Obviously, I knew who Ashley and Jessica, but, you know, I didn't know if, like, I shouldn't bring up his daughters. Like, if he doesn't want to be, like, associated. Like, he wants his own success and his own business.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so, you know, I went in there. And
he produced Newlyweds, so he's already hitched his wagon to their tail or whatever fucking saying is. Yeah.
So we go to his house. It's me and Schwartz. I got all these clothes, everything. I have makeup, everything there. And then walk in, we're talking, and he's just like, dude, he's just a character, man. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to be dealing with somebody who takes themselves way too seriously or if they were going to be cool. And like, he was actually really cool.
He was cool. Really cool.
Really cool. He was really nice. Like, I always, you know, I modeled regularly, successfully for 15 years. So like, I know, like, when you do a photo shoot, especially test shoot, when you're doing stuff, it's like, bring more clothes than you need, have good makeup, you know, you want to have a good music playlist, and then obviously some drinks. And so like, right away we start having some drinks. Always want to do body stuff first.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So, and I wanted to do body stuff and whatever. So
did you get a gay vibe from him?
No.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
Interesting.
You know?
Because I can't figure him out. That's why I'm so interested in this man. Because, like, on Newlyweds, he was this very family dad from, I don't know, Texas, or they're from somewhere south. And then he sort of morphed, and then he was photographed with, like, young boys. Like, And his style, like, transformed, and it was very, like, outrageous.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not the man that we used to see on TV. So that's what I find so interesting.
Well, maybe you got... There, you know, obviously with being in the industry, you know, being around a bunch of like being good looking guys, dealing with photographers and stuff like that, I feel like, and I've run into this, like, there's guys, it's like, I don't know if they're gay or they're definitely not gay, but they're like older and they basically want to hang out with the younger dudes in a sense to like feel younger themselves.
Sure.
They're not creepy or whatever, they just want to hang out with like younger dudes to feel younger.
Yeah I get that. I'm in my 30s and I want to hang out with 20 somethings to feel younger,
you know what I mean? You're not necessarily, so like, I don't know if he is or not. He,
although 20 something sort of exhausts me too, now that I'm thinking about it. I don't know 20, that I could
early 20s is like
I'd, dude, rather like 16 up. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He said
16 and up is more my demographic.
16 and up?
60.
Oh, 60 and up. Oh, okay.
60. No, 60. That's more my speed.
So, it's funny.
Wait, I have a question. This might be too personal and you don't have to answer it, but did you ever have an experience modeling where it was like you did encounter creepy men or inappropriate situations?
I was actually just going to bring that up. Like, because I have so many photographers to compare Joe Simpson to. And, dude, I dealt with so much, like, fucking harassment and so much creepiness. Like, And as a straight dude, I'm telling you, like, you know, there's this whole Me Too movement. Well, in my opinion, in my experience, 15 fucking years of experience in every Chicago, you know, LA, New York, Miami, you know, I had 10 agencies across the US, you know, like I never dealt with girls. They were always paid more, treated far better.
Female models.
Okay. Yes. They were always treated far better. If they were young, they had a parent with them. And dude, like,
cause the modeling industry is one of the few industries where females do make more than the men.
They make more, they're treated better. They're like praised more. They're put way more on a pedestal. And I mean, dude, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Right. Female models are the faces of campaigns a little bit more than men.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, but
so straight men are treated much worse.
And if you said anything, it's like, oh God, you're obviously so close-minded. What are you, like, homophobic? What are you, blah, blah, blah? It's like, you know, the girl would get like a dressing room and a robe if she was in a bathing suit and lingerie, and the guy would literally have to change naked next to the clothing rack.
Oh.
They would spend like, you know, this was standard for a shoot, but like so many times I was a prop. Always like, it was like all about the girl and I was a prop, which is fine. That's fine. But
you,
like,
knew that going in. But
like, dude, like, you know, being next to the clothing rack, like even like runway shows, like, yeah, I mean, that's a little bit different because you got to change so fast. That's blah, blah, blah. But dude, the guys were like, you know, you got to change next to the clothing rack. The stylist is like watching you change butt naked. Like,
did you have any experience?
Like, let me adjust that underwear. Like, you know, are you going to take care of that? Like,
that's what I was just going to ask. Like, fondling situation?
Dude, like, sure, man. Like, and, you know, obviously certain photographers would only work with brand new male models because they knew that they would, and you could tell, like, oh, you're gonna shoot, well, he's gonna get you naked, like, all
so the
stuff.
Models would almost, it would be a conversation between you guys. You knew that certain photographers would be a little more touchy-feely or something.
Yeah, and it's I have to adjust. It's like, dude, and then it got to the point, like, obviously later on I was just like, or they would like completely like slut you out, like, you know, they would want you in like something that looks so skimpy, like a dude thong or some shit. And you're just like, dude, A, I know this is like for just you. Like, nobody wants to fucking see me in a fucking zebra print fucking skimpy Speedo. Nobody gay or straight wants to see me in this.
I see.
That's what I'm trying to say. Like, nobody wants to see me look like a fucking little slut. Like, you want some like, you want some, like, sort of mystery, or, like, you want some sexiness, classiness, not, like, you're a fucking dirty whore, like, look. You know what I mean? Yeah. And guys, like, had no problem, you know, just being, like, pulling rank, like, how, like, if I wanted to go change in the bathroom or, like, whatever, they'd, like, scuff and laugh and, like, make it, like, whatever, and just, yeah, it was like, but the girls were always like, because, dude, think about it. If you're a male photographer and a girl, and it gets out that like a girl like felt uncomfortable or a girl felt a certain way, it's like, it's a huge deal. But if a guy was just like, eh, deal with it, dude, you're a male model, like, you know, this is what it is, this is what it takes, this is like blah blah blah, it was just like a normal fucking thing.
You know, I remember last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago, but sort of at the beginning of this Me Too movement, I remember there being a group of male models that came forward and said certain photographers,
I knew, and yes, I've,
and you were,
shot with some of those photographers, and I fucking dealt with exactly that, and it's like everybody dealt with that. But it's like, dude, if you're not gonna, like, you know, like, for instance, this guy, I remember when I shot for Abercrombie, we had like a fitting, and this one dude in particular, like, he didn't get a fitting because he wasn't going to shoot with clothing on. He was going to shoot completely naked the whole time.
The model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then whoever, like, I guess was easiest to work with, quote unquote, they had all these models, and they wanted them brand new. And then, like, as, you know, time went on, whoever's the easiest to work with or photographs best.
And when
stays yeah. more days and you get paid per day.
So when you say easiest, was it the guys who were willing to go do sexual things with the photographers?
No,
or was it just more like
I mean, look, dude, being, I don't know. I can't.
Sure.
I can't say. But, you know, maybe like definitely who's like willing to get nude.
Sure.
Comfortable being nude. Comfortable with whatever.
And it's just like, so sketchy, like, when you think about it.
Dude, yeah.
It's like, awful.
And then you're, you know, if you're shooting for, like, anything that, the funny thing is like, anything that was, like, looked good for your book, you know, it was like, well, if you won't do it, somebody else will for this shitty rate.
Wow.
But, like, if it was a campaign and it was a girl, like, there was, dude, like, I was on, I remember, like, the... They would, and then they would hit you up like, well, this is one time. I remember one time in particular, like, for instance, Rockin' Republic. I was a face for Rockin' Republic for like 2 years. And I remember I shot like a campaign, which was, they would call it a lookbook. Okay. So it's a lookbook, which means that it's not full campaign pay. So they would like want to pay you like less, but then the pictures would be everywhere in magazines, online, in the store. But they would say it's lookbook, okay? And obviously, like, once you've shot, you know, you don't really have, like, it's not, there's not a union, there's not, like, whatever. So then they would, like, and they would shoot video, the video would be online. And then, like, I remember that Michael Ball hit me up directly, and he was like, yo, you want to come in and just do a quick little lookbook thing? It's just for, like, just going, like, because we just got these sunglasses or whatever. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe you should go like through my agent or whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Like, oh yeah, sure. And like, I remember I went in there, it was like, threw me like $500 and I shot sunglasses. The girl that shot with me, she shot with me in the campaign. And then she shot with me like for this too, was making like $20,000. And then the picture ended up on the billboard, at like, literally so at Fairfax and Santa Monica.
So you don't miss any of that stuff, any of the modeling industry.
I don't.
Not, I mean, there was, I'm sure, good stuff too. But
dude, you know. It's fun. Like, you know, like definitely I'm talking about the negative side of it. Sure. But like, you know.
Well, you know what's
there
interesting?
There was fun things about it. It was cool. It was great. It's a young man's game for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, and well, that. But here's the funny thing about modeling.
I better be laughing after this story.
Women, what?
You said it's the funny thing. I said I better be laughing.
Well, it's okay. All right. The strange thing is that women, you know, we'll be doing a runway show where it's like I'm in my 20s. The guys are in their 20s, maybe some of them in their 30s. And then the girls are like freaking some girls are like 14 in like this fashion show wearing like not crazy risque, but like yeah. 14, 15, 16.
Inappropriate clothes for that age.
Yeah. Not inappropriate, but just like, you know. They're selling to like women.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, I guess maybe not necessarily inappropriate, but just not necessarily age appropriate in the sense of like you have kids department juniors and you have women.
They're in the women's
and
department.
And they're literally, they should be shooting juniors and they're literally shooting women's and we're shooting, you know, men's, whatever, especially in the high fashion kind of realm. And, but the funny thing is like the guy, when women, have their careers are shorter, they make more money generally, okay? But the men, they actually make more money the older they get.
Because they can, yeah. Because people like David Gandy, who's an older model, he's still working his ass off.
Yeah, or like Guillermo.
But he's distinguished.
Guillermo, the sir, yeah. He's like, it's like when you start, they call it man money. When you start making man money,
yeah,
you
yeah.
start making more like, so thing is like with the modeling industry, what you would do is you would shoot all these like, campaigns we don't like. I didn't make shit for Rockin' Republic. I didn't make, you know, there's other things I'm shot where, you know, it's like a editorial spread in like magazine, but then companies like Kohl's, Target, you know, Macy's, they're shooting like Kohl's shoots weekly things. Like they have like five, you know, studios going like per day. And those guys, I mean, they would pay like back in the day, it was like $2,500 day rate.
That's nice.
You know, shooting yeah. like once or twice a month with them. It was just like bread and butter.
Yeah.
And that's where you make your money in a yeah. sense, is the catalogs.
You know, you mentioned the young girl thing, and I don't know if you saw this, but I was watching the R. Kelly documentary. Did you see that? It's so upsetting.
It's
like a 6-part thing that just aired. It was called Surviving R. Kelly.
Aired. Okay, and, I haven't seen it. I'm gonna watch it.
It's really, really good. But it just made me so sad the way that a lot of industries, particularly this one, was the music industry, but the way they treat young women, and in this case, it was like the way they treat young black women, because all these young black women who are underage, like these stories about him, the way he treats these young girls have been coming out forever, but it's like he just gets away with that. I don't know. It just reminded me when you mentioned the modeling industry.
I mean, obviously it wasn't nowhere near.
No, of course. But the way that America treats young women, though, is just kind of problematic, or the way they sexualize young women that are under 18.
Especially during that era, for sure, yeah. Man. Like, I mean, I've heard stories. I mean, my friend, like, dude, he bought that piss video, like in...
Oh, the R. Kelly video, yeah.
Yeah, in like...
It's disgusting. I mean, the way that it was
where you would buy bootleg videos. Mm-hmm. Like, they were selling them on the street in New York in the early 2000s. Like, you could buy it. Yeah. He said his friend bought it and he watched it just out of like pure curiosity. This is before you would like go online and be able to like find this shit on like porn sites or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, it's like young girls, it's disgusting. And John Legend was on the documentary saying like he remembers that tape you're talking about, like when everyone on the streets was talking about it. It was like a thing.
Yeah.
But now, like looking back, and it's like, that's so problematic. It was this older man with a young girl. Anyway, we're not, that's
dude,
like
supposedly
a,
like, yeah, I know. Supposedly him and Aaliyah were like married.
Yeah, they were. When, I mean, the way they were like married, and then like they 14. Got it annulled because she lied on the marriage certificate because she wasn't of age. She was, I think, 15
dude,
or 16.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's sad. But anyway, that's not what this
it's
is
about. It's one thing if he's like, it's one thing, you know, because obviously like, you know, I don't.
It took a turn.
I know it did. And one thing that you don't hear about, I think is, Jimmy, Taurus Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page, right?
I don't know.
Jimmy Page.
Ashley Simpson? I don't know who you're talking about then.
I believe it was Jimmy Page is his, wife, I believe. I could be butchering this. One point, he had a girlfriend that was like 14, and he was older.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it wasn't like this. It wasn't like he was being whatever. It's just like he was in love with this girl that happened to be young, you know. And then, like, they got married and been together, like, I don't know, maybe ever since. But like this R. Kelly thing about these little girls that he just like. These yeah. young girls that he's just literally like yeah. pissing on.
It's disgusting.
And like belittling. But that's the yeah. most fucked up
and all
part.
These
and the age, but
and
also
all
the
people that knew about it, that it was all happening. Like all these people around him knew that it was happening. And I also think like no matter what the situation is, I think like the older male, or if it's an older woman with a young guy, either whoever it is, I feel like the older person should know better than to even be communicating with the young girl. Like there was this stuff recently, or it was last year, like Millie Bobby Brown. Do you know who that is from Stranger Things? And
yeah,
she's like the young girl. She's 14, and she was on a red carpet saying that her and Drake text, and they went out to dinner, and Drake, and like it's crazy. Like that's inappropriate. Like he should know. I shouldn't text a 14-year-old girl. And I mean, I know like, they're famous, and they, and there's a red carpet interview. You could see these two hosts are asking Millie Bobby Brown, the little girl, about this her relationship with Drake and like how they text and stuff. And it's like, why isn't anyone saying like that's fucked up? Like
that's a little weird.
I don't know.
That's a little weird.
But wait, let's get back to your show, because this is not I'm sorry I got you into this.
Yeah.
But real quick, I just want to say, what's coming up on Vanderpump Rules?
Oh
God. It's sorry, good,
I've
right?
Like, I've been scatterbrained, but
I know, I took you on a very wild ride.
We went on a fantastic voyage.
I told you we were going to do like 10 minutes and then...
I knew better and that's
sorry,
fine.
Sorry.
I would rather be better than quick. And you can always cut it down and edit it.
Yeah.
But anyways, while we have obviously Ariana's birthday, we got my birthday, and there's you're going to see a lot more of the, you know, coming together of Tom Tom and all the
things.
I was
at your birthday too, and there was like crazy weird dances. I'm so excited for people to see.
Yeah,
there's like
that's the thing with our show is like we have no shortage of content and things that happen. Like there's never any shortage, so it's always interesting for us, you know, because we don't know exactly what's going to make it on there, you know, like. So it's always interesting to see with us. We have an idea because obviously we have to sit in the chair and talk about it after the fact. But, you know, we
not exactly sure. So it's going to be interesting for us to see exactly how, you know, what they follow. I mean, obviously the big things we know about, but.
And TomTom's going well.
TomTom's going very well. You know, we're.
At the reunion last year, there was like some contract stuff. Did you guys work all that stuff out?
You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. That definitely is something that gets touched on the show for sure.
Okay.
So you'll see all that, like how all that plays out. And, yeah, I mean, obviously.
Should James have been fired?
In my opinion, absolutely. I don't know. I can't. Here's the thing. In a normal world, if somebody is acting a certain way, then I think they should. But the problem is it, you know, everybody else has done and said, like, you know, I mean, Katie, you know, shut slut. Like, Katie, I remember, like, witnessing Katie walk up to Lala and, like, slut-shaming her and, like, talking about, like, out of nowhere. There wasn't even any sort of, like, you're a
catalyst for it.
Like, yeah. I see it. You know, you're a fucking whatever. Like, you're.
I remember that.
Like, out of nowhere. Not even, like, out of reciprocation. Just literally, like, a full-on bullying thing. And whether they're cool or not is irrelevant. You know, Jax with, like, he did the same thing with her. And then, like, this whole, like, with Sheena ganging up on thing. Like, you know.
It's all happening.
And exactly. So, to me, it's like, if you've, you know, like, obviously Jax can't go around calling somebody a lying, cheating piece of shit because he's been busted doing it in the past. Like, the hypocrisy to me, and especially that I witnessed this season, it's just, it's kind of unreal. And it's been an ongoing thing, I feel like, with our show. And maybe sometimes I'm guilty of it as well. But I try not to be too hard on people for doing things that I've been in trouble doing myself. You know, I'm often like 5 to 10 minutes late. I do a hell of a job when I show up, but I'm normally 5 to 10 minutes late on anything I do. So, I would never be like, God, I can't believe you're late.
Someone's
like,
late, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't give somebody, I can't call somebody like unreliable because they show up late.
Yeah.
Then I would be a hypocrite. So, you know, in that time, this wasn't a normal day at work. Like, you know,
it was Pride. So everyone was, it was drinking.
Pride. Everybody's drunk. And on top of that, you know, James was getting ambushed. Like, he was getting ambushed after a full day of drinking. And, like,
he did go below the belt. I mean, some of the things he said were just, like, too much.
Of course he's below the belt, but everybody's been below the belt. That's what I'm saying. Like, nobody's fucking leading by example over here. Come on now.
Kristen was leading someone. She was leading Hope over that fence.
She asked, like, what's James? Like, again, like, the hypocrisy.
That was one of my favorite moments when she's like, what is he doing here? He shouldn't be here when she said that to you.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you shouldn't be here. Like, and also, like, what the fuck? Like, why? Like,
I loved it.
James and Kristen were, like, fine around each other. Like, they were totally cool last year. Like, it wasn't an issue. Yeah, they didn't necessarily, they weren't chummy, but there wasn't an issue. They could be around each other. They hung out when we were in Mexico. Like, everything was fine. And then all of a sudden this year, she picked up this, like, I'm like, dude, why are you acting like you broke up with James, like, 3 months ago when it felt like, you know what I mean? Like, you're acting like you guys just broke up more so now than you were a year ago.
Right.
Like, why are you so bitter?
I know. I love it just from a viewer standpoint because it's hysterical, I think.
But the hypocrisy, too. It's like her being like, oh, my God, like Raquel was sleeping in the other room when you guys supposedly had. I'm like,
which,
dude,
all of you guys, it's like, what does this keep happening? That's like the third time it's happened where somebody's in the other room.
Exactly. It's just like, I'm like, dude, like,
it's happening too much, Thomas.
I also, like, look at this whole situation and, like, you know, this whole thing with Hope. And I can't, there's other things I've heard and other things I've dealt with that person in particular.
Hope?
Yes.
Okay.
Also, like, obviously I wasn't there at Coachella and I can't confirm or deny whether it happened. Do I think something happened at some point? Maybe, yes. But, like, the thirst is also there. And I'm sorry, but, like, you know, I can't see James, like, wanting to, like, pursue, like, okay, Raquel's asleep. Now I'm going to pursue something with Hope. Like, she must have, like, definitely had to instigate some of that shit.
Do you think? Yeah.
Because, like, dude, I'm sorry, but, like, let's just say, like, for instance, Ariana's sleeping in the other room, okay? And, like, one of my biggest crushes I've ever had. Like, let's, or not, I,
who I'm would not, your female crush be like? If you had an actress, is there some actress? Like, Rihanna watches the show. Like, would, if Rihanna was like,
okay, so Rihanna, let's just say Rihanna is like here. And like,
I wish she was.
And she's kind of like into me. Okay. Maybe she, let's just pretend she's kind of into me. Like, I wouldn't be able to, like, I wouldn't be able to, like, get it up just out of the pure guilt and not only, and the fear of getting found out. Rihanna would actually, even though Rihanna's like bombshell, beautiful, gorgeous, super hot, sexy, awesome, she would actually have to, like, she would have to, like, work me up.
Yeah.
Just out of the, just off of fear alone.
Yeah, I get that.
Not to mention guilt. Guilt, fear, paranoia. Like, so what I'm saying is like, unless James is completely cold-blooded, which he's not, you sure. know, like, nobody is. She must have, like, had,
she
must have
really
had to
wound
have,
him up.
She
do you think he hooked up with Logan, or was that just, like, a...
Do you think what?
Do you think he hooked up with Logan, or do you think that's not false?
Because
Logan was just on another podcast or something recently saying,
dude,
implying all this stuff that happened, and I...
I'm friends with Logan, and he would get annoyed with me saying this, but it's the truth. Every time I meet fucking Logan, he's got like, he's photographed some little model boy and he like leans over to me and goes, we're totally fucking.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, dude, first of all, I can tell that guy's straight. He's young. He definitely yeah. like, you know, hooks up with really hot girls. I can tell.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't his first rodeo, like whatever. So like, so you're telling me, Logan, that I can tell this guy's straight, that you have somehow, Logan,
lured him.
And gotten him to, like, you know,
turn
for you.
Yeah. Okay, Tom, I'm letting you go. Real quick, I ask everyone this. What's your favorite Mariah Carey song? I ask every single guest that.
Oh, man. You know what's funny is my girlfriend in sixth grade, which we met at Spinning Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went to, it was when I first moved over to, in sixth grade, when I first started public school.
So it wasn't Fish Fry Catholic
school. It wasn't Fish Fry. No. We
really ran the gamut here.
Yeah, we did. So we ended up, she went to my sixth, went to Russell, and then we would go to Spinning Wheels on Fridays, the roller rink, and we started couple skating or whatever, and then we ended up like Frenching, and then our song became Hero by Mariah Carey.
And your friend and friend of the show, Walter, co-wrote Hero.
Yes. Full fucking
circle. That's amazing.
I like popped my...
Makeout cherry.
Hero.
I tongued a girl behind a Dairy Queen. That was my first like makeout with a yeah tongue
whatever. A girl.
We like that's really what it was. It was like me, both of us kind of jamming our tongues like because we didn't know how to do it. But it was behind a Dairy Queen, and it was like we were playing spin the bottle. Anyway, Tom,
it's amazing.
I know you love Jim Carrey too. You're like a huge Jim Carrey fan. I wanted to talk to you about it, but it's.
I'll tell you a quick story about Jim Carrey.
Okay.
All right, so in seventh grade, we were...
I feel like I know your whole life now.
You do.
Every year since birth.
In seventh grade, we had 6 hours. So I think I was like fourth hour or whatever. In our English class, one of our assignments, or writing class, whatever, one of our assignments was to write to somebody famous. Okay? You could either... And you didn't. It didn't matter if you... got a photo back or like whatever you wanted. Some people like wanted somebody like write back. Let me know what you think. Or could you please send a whatever? Anyways, I was a huge Jim Carrey fan, like from day one. Like, and I wrote him a letter.
I was too. That's why I was like a huge, I'm still am. I love him. But
yeah,
when I was
amazing.
A kid, I was like, I was obsessed as a kid.
Well, too. I wrote him a letter. I basically was like, you know, like it was Pet Detective came out, Ace Ventura Pet Detective, and then it was, and then The Mask had just come out, and like Dumb and Dumber was coming. So The Mask had just come out, and I was like, okay. I had been a fan with him like through In Living Color. I remember his movie Once Bitten, and I loved Jim Carrey, and I used to imitate him. I was obsessed. So I wrote him a letter, and I was like, hey, you know, I've been a fan with you, fan of yours ever since Once Bitten and In Living Color, Fire Marshal Bill, like the lifter, female bodybuilder, all that stuff. I was like, Ace Ventura is like my favorite movie, and I love The Mask, and I'm just so glad to see you finally getting what you deserve, because you're like one of the best, you know, most talented. There's nobody like you. I don't know if there ever will be anyone, and I look up to you in so many ways.
And I'm just so, like, I just so glad to see you finally getting what you deserve. And, like,
that was so nice of you as a kid to say that to him.
And I remember hearing, like, how he wrote himself a check for, like, $1 million. He used to drive up at the top of, like, Mulholland or whatever and literally wouldn't leave until he convinced himself that he was a millionaire, you know? And,
yeah.
And he would just stare at the check or whatever. And so I asked him for, if he could please send me a photo. If not, no big deal. I can close an envelope, whatever. Out of all five classes, there were five writing classes that they had. And one person got a letter back from Pamela Anderson, which is cool.
Wow.
And I was the only one that got a signed photo back. And it said, I'll show it to you. It says, it's a Jim Carrey picture and it says, "Spanky very much, Jim Carrey."
Aww.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was so stoked.
You must have been so jazzed. Like, did you just walk around?
Like, yeah, yeah.
I was obsessed with that. I mean, Dumb and Dumber is still one of my favorite movies of all time. But
it's good. Me, Myself, and Irene.
So
like,
funny. Yeah. He's got a Showtime show, too. That's pretty good. It's kidding.
I haven't seen
it's
it
good.
Yet.
But it's good. It's good. I mean, it's obviously a little darker and stuff, but it's good.
Did you see he did this short? I'll show it to you when we're done. But
the
he
painting
plays,
short?
Oh. The one where he plays like a homeless guy who's like can't speak.
That. I didn't see it.
So amazing.
There's a good short video about his painting and his inspiration while painting. It's like very good.
I bartended at his house.
Oh my God.
And I got to meet him.
That's full circle too.
Dude, yes.
Was he nice? He was nice, right?
He was so cool. It was back when he was with, they were raising money for autism or whatever. It was back when he was with Jenny McCarthy, and he has his art in his house.
Right. She's an
anti-vaxxer.
When I walked
in, he had, what?
She's an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah,
I was just trying
is.
To think, like, I read her books. We'll That's not about, here or there.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other
time. I read
time.
All Anyways, of her books, but I, yeah.
Right when I walk in, he was like having, there was a coat rack, and it was like him as like a court jester, like this, but like doing a
oh my god,
doing like a handstand with his legs split apart, and it was like him. And then there were other paintings and stuff in the house. He was really funny. Like grabbed her, he's like dancing with her, and he's, you know, talking about playing tennis and how convenient it is to have like a sushi bar on the tennis
to be
court.
Rich as fuck.
Yeah, well, he was just joking because yeah. It was a big event at his house, and there's like. Sushi bar over here. There's like crepe bar over here. And it was funny. It was great.
Oh man.
He's
I love
such
him.
A nice guy.
Tom, thank you so much for entertaining me for this was way longer than I had planned. It was
Dude,
impromptu, but this was so fun.
It's and never a short story with me.
That's one thing I have learned is that you cannot wrap things up.
I can't. I need that wrap it up thing.
But thank you so much for doing the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, for sure.
And,
my pleasure.
And I want to thank all you guys for listening to the show. Please find me on social media and join the Patreon if you want the Everything Iconic bonus episodes. Please rate and review this on iTunes if you like it, or Stitcher if you listen on Stitcher. It would be great if you could leave a review there. If you like it, if you don't like it, just, I don't know, do nothing. Love you. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.